As you have seen, Thanksgiving is upon us, and we here today need to be looking at just a couple of words in verse 18. As you see in your bulletin, thankful for trials. Because, you know, from the core of my being, I am truly very thankful for plans that are accomplished. I am truly grateful and thankful to God when dreams are realized. I am truly, truly, honestly thankful for warm, sunny days. I love sitting out on my back patio in the nice summer, got my little umbrella up so it's not cooking my laptop, emailing you guys, call forwarding. I get your phone calls on my cell. It's kind of fun just sitting outside working like crazy. I'm also thankful for this fantastic fall foliage. Got a little bit of it. Even coming today, there's still some sort of a maple tree that still has all its leaves, bright yellows and reds that tree is turning. I am also very thankful, as Robin was paying the bills this week, that there is a little bit of money left over after all the bills are paid. I am thankful, and I'm very grateful for that. I am thankful, personally, that this year I am not in the physical pain that I was in last year. Last fall, I didn't necessarily tear my rotator cuff. I just had tears in the rotator cuff. So they couldn't do surgery, but wow. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't raise my arm up. Many of you remember that. I was in incredible pain for months and months and months. And I'm thankful. I can honestly come this Wednesday and sit here among all you brothers and sisters and say, I thank God I'm not in the physical pain that I was in last year. I'm thankful for many of my loved ones who are loving God this year. I am truly, honestly thankful for that. For these and many more like these, I am truly thankful. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as you may have it in your Bibles, it says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And then to put some more meat to it, because sometimes, you know, we wonder, I wonder what God's will is. Have you even thought that once in a while? I wonder what God's will is for my life. Now's the time to be honest. Come on. We've all at one time thought, I wonder what God's will is for my life. Well, as we read past about the first six or seven words, what does it say? In everything give thanks because this is God's will for you. And again, Wednesday, I can very much jump up here and I will be saying I'm so grateful and thankful for all the good things. But the tension point in our life comes those first two words. And what are those first two words again in verse 18? In everything. In everything. And that's the difficulty. That's where the tension point comes in because, again, as it's stated maybe negatively in your bulletin, but am I really thankful when plans are not achieved? Am I really thankful when dreams are shattered? Dreams are lost. Dreams are gone. Dreams will never be realized. Am I really thankful for these cold, damp weeks that will be soon upon us? And we're all shivering and we've got all our snuggies and whatever that blanket with feeties are all wrapped up in. We've got our gloves, and I'm already wearing my gloves because, yes, my hands are already cold. As many of you say, oh, your hands are so cold. Yes. Usually starts October and goes till about April or May. So I'm already got my gloves, and I cut my fingers out of them so I can swipe my, you know, my electronic stuff. And I wear them all the time. Am I thankful for that, though? I'm thankful for the warm, sunny days. But what about the cold, damp winter days that are upon us? Am I required to be thankful for failing eyesight that maybe some have, or failing health that they can't get out and see the fall foliage, or their eyes with macular degeneration or cataracts or whatever that they can't see like they used to? Are we required to be thankful for that? Are we required to be thankful when there's still a whole stack of bills yet to be paid and there is no more money? Are we to be thankful for that? For unending pain, and again, one of the beautiful things about Ethel is she is more than ready to go home to heaven because she has just been in pain for a long, long time, and she's basically been living in the hospital for the last past year. And she was praying that she did not have to go back to the hospital this year. And maybe God will answer that soon and just take her home. But for those of us who may still be living with chronic continual pain, as many of us have, not me personally, but editorially, are we thankful for that? Are we thankful when loved ones go astray? For these and many more, am I supposed to be thankful for that? Well, again, there are many ways to interpret the Bible. And here's that big fancy word, but it's called hermeneutics. It basically means, how do you interpret the Bible? And there's many ways that people interpret the Bible. Some people interpret it like allegorically. Some of the guys on radio are pulling something out of an obscure Old Testament passage and saying, see, that means nuclear destruction. But what we do here at Oxford Valley Chapel is we understand that there's certain types of literature that are translated differently, such as in the Psalms. God is referred to as a rock. God is referred to as a shield. God is referred to as our fortress. Is God really a gray stone? It's you know, figurative language. We understand that. We understand that as we get into, like, for example, Ezekiel, which is a real prophetic book, as well as Revelation, again, there's words, and it appeared to be like a lion. It appeared to have the face of a man. So again, we're not going to translate that literal. But in most of, since we're dealing with Paul's writings, it means what it says, and it says what it means. It's just literal, straightforward, grammatical, contextual, historical way we interpret the scripture. So unfortunately for me today, and maybe unfortunately for you, under the inspiration of God, when God breathed out these words in 5:18, God said, yes, you are to be thankful in not just the good days, but in the difficult days. Yes, you must be thankful for not just when the kids or our plans, or our dreams, or our accomplishments, but also when they're dashed and shattered. We have to be thankful. We have to be thankful for both sickness and health, for sunny days, for damp, cold days. We have to be thankful for plenty. We have to be thankful for want. And again, the positive, the affirmative, I'm all bored on that. I'll jump on that bandwagon. I'll ride it all day long. The other one, well, again, that's where faith comes into play. That's where trust comes into play. So as you can see there in the bulletin, what are a couple things that we can be thankful for in just times of chronic, continual pain? What can we be thankful for in times of disappointment and despair? What can we be thankful for in times of just, it seems like the bottom of our world has just fallen out from under us? Well, I've just listed four, but there's many more. But one of them I think that we can grasp and hang on to, like that song, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and he covers me with his hand. And anything that's going to attack me then has to come through nail-pierced hands. So it's just a wonderful promise that we have there in Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your lifestyle, your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he himself has said, remember what he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And then it ends up with, well, then we can boldly say, you know, if God's with us and never going to fear us, we don't have to fear, because what can man do to us? God's presence is something that is just something that we can hold on to. I don't want to get mystical on you, because that's a whole way of religion that's kind of crazy, but there is a presence that we can feel. As Romans 8 says, that his spirit does bear witness with our spirit that we are in fact his children. So there is a relationship we have. And another old hymn that we don't sing maybe too much is, he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I am never alone. Never alone. He promised that he would never leave me, never to leave me alone. Remember the Great Commission there in Matthew 28? You know, we are very much, and we should very much know the first part of Matthew 28. You know, we're to go in the world, and we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We, as our mission statement says, we must go out and rescue lives. Rescue them through saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we must go out and restore relationships because, again, even this week, I've heard of many relationships just with families outside this church that are just in need of someone to come alongside and to rescue them. But remember the last part of how that commission ends up with? And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even until the end of the age or the end of the earth. So we don't ever have to think that we're in this alone. We're never alone. Whenever we go through heart-wrenching times, there's God's presence. I want you to look at something there in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Here's the Apostle Paul, a little backstory here. The Apostle Paul has some sort of a physical malady. Some think it was his eyesight because he had somebody else writing for him. And then another letter, he said, see, I've written with large letters with my own hands. We don't really know what the malady was, the physical problem that Paul had. But he had what he refers to as a thorn in the flesh. There was some sort of physical problem. And 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7, what he does is he goes to the Lord and he says, God, can't you take this away? And sometimes we say that, don't we? Can't you make my daughter? Can't you make my husband? Can't you just help not everything to break apart so we're always repairing things? We never have any money in our savings account. God, can't you just give us a little help here? And let's read now, again, with that backstory, what he's going on. He says in verse 7, and again, Paul realizes there's a purpose for suffering. And again, you and I, suffering without purpose is just intolerable. But we have to realize there's a purpose in the suffering. So he says there in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Let me just stop there. Who wrote most of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul, and that's what he's referring to. It's not like he's having dreams at night, but God is giving him the written word to write down. So lest he should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And here in this case, under divine inspiration, it was satanic attack. A messenger of Satan to beat me, lest I be exalted of measure. Concerning this thing, this physical malady, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, who's the word he referring to? All right, so God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay, then we have period, end quote. Then the next word is, therefore mostly will I rather glory. Who's speaking there? The Apostle Paul. So here's what we got now. Paul goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I want you to get rid of this malady, this thorn in the flesh. He said it three times. And basically, again, this is kind of interesting in our prayers, because in our prayer sheet, there's many things we're praying that God would maybe take away in our prayer sheet in your bulletin. And God doesn't even say yes, no, or wait. God says, here's my grace. Here's my grace. So here's what God says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. It would have been neat to be a fly in the wall and see the response or the reaction of Paul. Speculation, it just about floored him. I mean, it shook him because notice what he said there. He said, therefore, he says, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that, or in order that, the power of Christ may rest upon me. therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am what? What is he then? Strong. So I am very grateful and thankful for God's sufficient grace. God's saying, listen, you don't need me to take this away. You don't need a better paying job. You don't need this or the other. You don't need all these different things. You know what you need? Me. My grace. And my grace will be sufficient. Number three on the bulletin insert there. One of the things that we can be thankful for, we must be thankful for, is the promises of God. 1 Peter 5 through 6 through 9 talks about we are to be glad. We are to rejoice that our faith is going through the refiner's fire. And our faith, like gold, will be purified. And then when we see God at the appearing of Jesus Christ, our faith will allow us to be full of joy and gladness and praise and honor and glory. So again, as I said just a minute ago, you know, to not see purpose in suffering is almost intolerable. Whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's marital, whether it's whatever. We have to be able to see a purpose. There has to be some reason. And here's one of the reasons. God is using that adversity to form us and shape us into his image. You know, Job, the book of Job, the Old Testament. You got Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Job, just before the book of Psalms. That was probably written before Moses wrote those five books of the law. So Job didn't really have any backstories. He didn't like have any sidebars. He was kind of not really having much information. And you know, he lost his sons, he lost his daughters, he lost his health, he lost the support of his wife, he lost his riches, he lost everything. But Job, and you can see there, we're in verse 23, so we're about halfway through the progress in this whole traumatic storyline of Job's life. He says this, in Job 23, he says, but you know what? God knows my life. He knows the way that I take. He knows the situation I'm in, and when he has tried me, can you remember the rest of it? I will come forth as gold. So God knows, God sees, and as we had on the bulletin board last sermon Sunday, and as I preached last week, who's in control? God. God is in control. So I'm very grateful for the promises of God. And then lastly, you know, Romans. Well, here, let's just go to Genesis 50:20, because maybe you've heard Romans 8:28-29. Well, we know all things work together for good. But, you know, Genesis 50:20 is equally a wonderful passage of Scripture. Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's been accused falsely of rape, thrown in jail. And now, finally, the brothers who wanted to kill him and sold him into slavery now come to meet this man who is second under Pharaoh. It is now the most powerful country in the entire known world because all the rest of the world is dying because of a famine. And the brothers come before him and he looks at them and he says, you meant it, and I love the word, evil. A very hard Hebrew word. You meant it for evil. And I'm sugarcoating it. But, and this is one thing I love about God, God is big enough and powerful enough, and as I said last week, God's plan is big enough to include the free will of man, and he took it and he turned it for good. And the good that came out of it was not just for Joseph, because, hey, I am now second in command to the richest, most powerful kingdom in the known world, but also for you. Because if it weren't for me and my generosity, you too would starve to death with the rest of the world. So, there's so many promises that we can hang on to. And I just listed three, and there's many promises that you hang on to as well. And then lastly, one of the things that we can be thankful for in these heart-wrenching times is for people's help. we, again, as our church, as we've read some of the thank you notes that we've gotten even this year, just the help of our church is just amazing. Just their help. Galatians 6 says, you know, if we see someone who's overtaken in a fall, what do? We go and help. We go to restore. And then it goes on to say that we are to help bear their burdens. Because sometimes life just gets too much for one to bear on their own. So we come alongside. And whether it's non-formally or on Monday mornings, we come together. Mornings and afternoon nights, we come together and try to help reconcile and to restore. Another thing about God's people, as Pastor John mentioned at the beginning with that 1 John, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 describes for us probably one of the attributes of God's character being love. And it fleshes out a little bit of what love is. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love is patient. You know, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is a love that just never fails. It is there. As God has committed himself to us, we, especially those of you who are members, we stood up here and we committed our love and our faithfulness to each other. So I'm very grateful for their help, for their love, and then also for their encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, you don't necessarily need to go back there, but that's a pretty short verse. And it basically says, listen, I want you to encourage one another, and I want you to build up one another. So these are just four of the promises of God that we can hang on to, which then will allow us to be thankful in everything. Because here again, let me just try to make the point. Could I be thankful last fall when my left shoulder was basically a real pain in the neck? Well, I don't necessarily have to be thankful for the pain, but I can be thankful for the purpose. I am more empathetic to other people in their suffering. I can be thankful for God's presence. I can be thankful for God's grace because he allowed me to get everything done that I needed to get done. Sometimes it took a little longer. Sometimes it took Robin's help, but we got it done. I am thankful for God's promises. Hopefully I've been tweaked and tuned a little bit more into his image. And I'm also thankful for the people. As you prayed, some of you offered to help. One of you, I burned wood in my house, and someone brought over their splitter and finished up splitting the little bit of wood and helped me stack it. So these and many more we can be thankful for. The actual injury, maybe, maybe not. Or we could say, I'm glad it wasn't any worse. It wasn't any worse. We bumped into a man yesterday who had surgery 3 years ago and is still having difficulty from that surgery. See where we're going with this? But in everything, you and I must be thankful. So stating it positive, yes, it is possible to be thankful for trials. It is possible when our plans don't match up with God's. It's possible to be thankful for damp, cold weeks. Yes, it is possible, and more than possible, we are commanded in everything to give thanks. It's possible to be thankful when there's not enough money. It's possible to be thankful for unending pain. It's possible to be thankful in everything because that's what God wants from us. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and me. So here's what we got to do as we just kind of conclude this part. Let's ask God to help you and I not to be fickle. Because sometimes we're tempted when life doesn't go our way, we literally or figuratively shake our fist at God and say, why me, God? Why this? Why now? Hey, how about in everything, give thanks? Let's love him and be grateful to God for both the good days and the difficult days. But you know, let's make an application here. Our fidelity, our unwavering love just shouldn't be towards God. Our fidelity should also be with one another. As Romans 8 clearly teaches at the end of Romans 8, it says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Height, depth, principalities, powers present, powers past. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. So we need to be God-like and make sure that there's nothing that will separate God or others from our love. As there's nothing that can separate us from God's love, there should be nothing that should separate others from our love. Our love. Colossians 3:15 says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be ye thankful." This week, our nation is pausing, and we have an opportunity to, as a nation, pause and give thanks. When we give thanks, we're also having a thanks service Wednesday here. We're going to spend an hour just giving thanks. There'll be refreshments downstairs. But when we come gather together as a family on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to give thanks, I'm looking for some of the difficult things for which we are thankful for. Thankful I got a raise. Thankful the kids did well in school. Thank you. How about some of the difficulties? In everything, we must give thanks.